Welcome to the Comic Cast, Ireland's number one comic podcast. I'm Craig.
I'm Liam.
And we're here with an interview special. During the week you went to talk to Mr. Alan Nolan.
Mr. Alan Nolan, comics writer and artist. Yeah. Better known as the creator of the horror series Sancho.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're big Sancho fans here.
We are. And actually, it's worth mentioning, I'm super surprised that we haven't had Alan on the show before. Because when you think about it, back in the day when we started 2 years ago,
like Sancho's one of the first comics we reviewed, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But also the fact that, like, you know, at the time you would have went, Bob Byrne is a big comics person, and other such people.
Yeah, yeah. Just one of these new ways.
Yeah.
The Luke Fs of the world swooping in.
But it really, he was always on our list, but we haven't got around to him until now.
So why was that, Liam? Since you handled it, who's
the podcast? Actually, I bumped into him at the launch of Patty Lynch's second comic book.
Yeah, and he was complaining, was he?
He was roughing me up.
Get me on the podcast. Message heard, sir. Message heard.
So here you go. We're here in the Central Hotel. They should rename this place the Comicast Corner, because this is where we do all our interviews now.
Yeah, or maybe the Kamikaze Corner. From some nights that I've had here in the library, Kamikaze is more like it.
And some of the interviews we've done certainly felt like they were kamikazes.
willing to explode themselves.
That charming voice you can hear is that of Alan Nolan,
who's
seated next to me. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good. I'm a bit damp, actually, but
it's a horrible day outside, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, thunder and lightning is always much appreciated.
Well, you know,
it's on a summer's day in July.
It's dramatic.
Absolutely, yeah.
What kind of comics were you into as a kid?
As a kid, I started off, I'm, as you may gather, quite old. So I started off on the Beano and the Dandy and Topper, and then on to Whizzer and Chips and so on. This would have been sort of late 70s childhood that I had. And then on to kind of harder stuff, you know, that was your entry drug. Then the harder stuff like Warlord and Battle Action and so on. And then on to 2000 AD, which I stayed with for years and years and years. Big 2000 AD fan, and still am, up to issue about 300. They lost me after that. So that's what I was into. And American comics I didn't really get into American comics, DC and Marvel, until much, much later when I was, sixth year in school and into college. I started getting into them then, especially when I went to NCAD, so I was big into comics at that stage. That was around the 90s. That was the perfect time, you know, the late 80s, you know, for the whole Alan Moore graphic novel, burst the graphic novel sort of thing. I got really into that, and Frank Miller and so on.
Were you always drawing, from the day? Were you one of these kids who were, like, making your own comics all the time?
I was always drawing, yeah. I think the first comic that I did, I actually did with Ian Whelan, who's my regular compatriot in Calamity.
It's a good title.
Yeah, well, he has one on his business card. We were in about second year, no, sorry, about sixth class in school, because we went to primary school together.
Oh, okay.
And we did a comic called Splat, which was, like, literally drawn on lined paper, you know, and had awful jokes, you know, from joke books, you know, and crackers and stuff like that. But we had our own little characters, and I remember one guy, Garvin, who's an old friend of ours, who has actually written for Sancho. He's now an English teacher in the States. He wrote the story, which was fantastic. It was all about, and this is, like, bearing in mind that we were, like, 10 at the time, but it seemed fantastic at the time, all about vampires, giant vampire bats, and little boys who find this cave of vampire bats who are, you know, human-sized and walking around and so on. And what happens after that, I couldn't actually tell you. I can't remember. But I remember thinking it was a really good story at the time. but it was probably shite. But anyway.
But at least the supernatural thing seems to be embedded.
The supernatural thing,
way back when.
I was always a big fan of the occult and read loads of books on magic with a K. And, you know, all the there used to be a magazine out when I was young called The Unexplained. I think they've re-released it a few times.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
It was a part work, and I used to collect that religiously and just loved that whole kind of thing. Spontaneous human combustion, everything like that. Just loved it. Wishing it would happen to people that I knew. You
know, that kind of the voodoo doll.
Exactly.
Doll, you know, get a parrot each week.
There's a bully in school, just, you know. His mum comes in and just finds his burning foot in a fireplace going, "What happened? Nigel!"
You eventually went to college. You were in NCAD.
I was in NCAD, I did education in NCAD, which is the art teaching end of things.
Oh, okay.
And realized quite early on that I couldn't stand kids, so shifted over to graphic design. And after college, I went into, I started off as junior designer and just kept going at that. And now I've worked my way up the ladder to, you know, slightly more junior or less junior designer than I used to be. But I'm running my own business now at the moment, which has a sum total of one person working for it, which is great.
Yeah,
it's great.
Sancho is like is one of those comics like Bob Burns that kind of pops in my head when anyone talks about Irish comics. You know, there's kind of a few that you can go, oh yeah, well, there's Bob Burns this, and there's Alan Nolan Whelan's Sancho. How did it come about? How did it start?
Well, Sancho actually started between myself and Ian in the about the mid 90s. Now, we were just trying to get a comic together, and we I think we put an ad in Hot Press or something like that, you know, something really stupid.
Right.
Saying, you know, comic artists wanted, comic writers wanted. And we got a gang together, and we used to meet up in Bewley's, you know, once a week. But it was the kind of thing, you know, we were all young, and the whole thing fell apart, you know, and we got one issue almost together, and I got, you know, and it was kind of a 2000 AD kind of style thing. We called it Wasted. But there was a character, the one I was writing and drawing was called Pancho. And, pardon me, it was a Western sort of thing with cult overtones.
Okay.
So it was all, you know, very Magnificent Seven and, you know, a village of Mexicans who were being, you know, oppressed by the local landlords and all this kind of crap. But yeah, it was quite good, but, you know, we never actually got the thing together, and you know, people let us down at the time, or we felt they did anyway, and the whole thing fell apart. So we weren't, you know, hugely serious about it. And then real life took over, you know, and you know, careers took over and all this kind of stuff, and it was hard to get back into it. But so we left that on the back burner for a long time. And myself and Ian went off. We were in bands at the time. We were in a band called Mangled Ferret, and another one called Donnybrook Garage, and another one called Little Six-Foot Pygmy, and another one called Super Hate. But we were together the whole time.
That's a great name.
With really stupidly named bands, you know, playing around Dublin, starting off the underground, the Rock Garden, all that kind of stuff. So that kind of took over for a while. And then we got into writing plays, and we wrote a play based on an old James Whale film called The Old Dark House.
Okay.
And we rewrote it as a sort of broad comedy farce. That was around 2000 or so. And we've done that a couple of times over the years. We've been in Andrew's Lane with it, and been in the Crypt when that was open over in Dublin Castle. And we played the Pavilion in Dunleary and so on. And went out really well. And so when we were writing that, I had gone over to Bristol to one of the comic conventions by myself. You know, just always been a fan of comics and reading the whole time. Decided to go over and see what a comic convention was like, and to meet all these kind of 2000 AD people that I was really into. And, you know, there's a lot of the 2000 AD people who are working now, who were working then, you know, in the about 2004 or so on, who I was really interested in, like Henry Flint. Mostly artists, to tell you the truth. I was always really interested in artists. Henry Flint and Dom Reardon and Fraser Irving and people like that. So I decided to go over and, you know, try and buy some art, basically, and have a look at the convention and go to a few sort of panels and stuff like that. So the first one I went to a panel on starting up your own comic, a self-publishing panel.
Okay.
And having gone to that and having looked at all the small press that was on offer at the Bristol thing, and this is the time when Bristol was in that huge big hangar almost of the Victoria and Albert Museum, there was an awful lot of stuff at it, and there was an awful lot of small press people, and I was looking at the stuff thinking, God, I could do better than this. I don't know whether I did or not in the end, but I certainly gave me, between that and the panel, it sort of gave me the kick up the arse I needed to go and do something. As well as that, I was pretty much working full-time as a graphic designer then, and I knew a lot of printers and, knew the technicalities of getting a comic together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I designed, loads of brochures and so on, so...
I imagine that helps a lot, because you can really see in some exactly. comics that you find in Forbidden Planet, they could be great, but it's really horrible to kind of look at them because they're really badly made.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the time, the design and production can let them down slightly, and I knew that was, my strong suit. I wasn't sure about how I'd be, doing a full, 32-page comic. But I decided I'd give it a shot, so I went off and wrote the story, and at that stage I had decided to bring back the Pancho character, and I'd called it Pancho, and everything was great, and started on the story and started drawing it. So I called Ian in and just to say, what do you think of this? And he said, yeah, it's really good, and he gave me loads of plot points on it, and we sat down and rewrote it, but he said the main thing you have to do is not call your character Pancho, because it sounds like a fat guy. Pancho. Yeah, I suppose you're right, it does sound a little bit like it, so nothing against fat people at all, but Ian decided that that his main thing that he would like to change,
yeah,
apart from most of the plot, would be the character name. So, being not that imaginative, we came up with the name Sancho, which sounded Mexican, and was also worked actually in with the story, because the first story was about the relationship between Sancho and his old mentor, who dies, who's murdered at the beginning of the first story, and Sancho is brought out of retirement to solve that particular occult murder. But his name was Don, which kind of made sense with the tongue. Don Quixote and Sancho being the sidekick. So
yeah, yeah.
It was about Sancho sort of growing out of being a sidekick and becoming his own character and gaining a sidekick in the little ratty sort of flying guy that I have called Tom Frost. He is now his 6-inch sidekick with a trademark at the end of it. So that's basically where that came from. Then, having done the first issue, we sort of had great ideas for the second issue, but no time to do it, and decided that, probably a 9-month turnaround was probably,
yeah,
quite long. We wanted to do more than one a year, so we decided to make it a more collaborative effort and bring in a few different writers and make it a sort of anthology.
Okay.
And always being fan of 2000 AD, and that being an anthology comic, I decided that was probably a nice way to go, just have 4 or 5 different stories of 6 to 10 pages long, and maybe a couple of shorter ones. So we're lucky enough to get a few good collaborators who came up with the goods, and just took it from there. We're up to issue 5 now, still in the anthology
mode,
exactly.
What was it like? It was certainly on issue 2, kind of first kind of bringing in people, outside people. Well, I guess you said it was, they were good collaborators, so
yeah.
I guess that helped.
Well, I think in issue 2 we had decided on the theme of vampires, so we spoke to a few people we knew well. Like, we didn't really bring in that many people that we weren't sure of. Garvin, the guy with the vampire bats story from when we were 10, wrote a story for it, which the bloody name escapes me now, but it was all about vampires in 1916, which is quite good. And we got this Welsh guy called Kerry Pashley to draw it, who we had actually, there's thunder again, who we had met at
it just came over when you said his
exactly,
name
exactly, yeah, name. He's thinking of me somewhere, walking all over my grave.
Sorry.
We met him at our first time we took a table at Bristol. which is when we released the first issue. We had a table, and it was like typical 6 foot table with nothing but issues with Sancho all over it, you know. So it was a gas, but we got a lot of people coming up to us that day, you know, and very interested in the comic. And he was one of the guys who came up, and he was showing us his portfolio because he was starting out in comics or wanted to get into them. I think he's still doing comics now. I haven't spoken to him in a couple of years, but he his stuff was great. So Ian said, you know, would you be interested in doing a story? We have him by a friend of ours, and so we sent him the script, and he did that. Which is great. And then another story was written by a guy called Derek O'Connor, who is another one of our longtime collaborators. In fact, Ian is working with Derek now in a film company they have called Doris McGee.
Okay.
And they do the little sketches that are at the end of the Frontline program on
Yeah, Orson. Yeah.
You know, there's funny little sketches at the end of that Pat Kenny program. And
they're shown at the... The live, what is that called?
The thing in Greystones, is it?
Oh my god, I can't remember any of this information right now. The guy, the economist guy, wasn't there live?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. David McWilliams.
Yeah.
They might have been on that show. I know they're down at the Electric Picnic. There's a tent down there that Dave McWilliams is in. It's a niche and non thing. So it's, I think it's called Leviathan. I think that's the tent.
Yes, you're right, that's the one.
And yeah, they're being shown at that, and they're being shown, not this weekend, this weekend is addition. The next weekend in Greystones Theatre, they're having a little mini arts festival.
Okay.
I'm in it as well, exhibiting art and the Sancho comics and so on. But Ian and Derek, they'll have their stuff on a big screen on a loop. So all the little shorts they did are going to be up there. So the reason I was bringing that up was Derek wrote a story for issue two, which I illustrate. And the reason I bring up the film thing was he actually wrote it as a film script and was hoping to get it made. At the time, he couldn't get it made, so I had storyboarded part of the script for the initial... what would you call it, for the prep, for, you know, to get funding for it. We didn't get the funding in the end, but I decided, well, it's very, you know, because I'd done the storyboards, yeah. I thought, well, I have a vampire comic coming up. This is about vampires. It's quite, would make quite a good comic. So I took the script and rewrote it, and that was in there as well. And there was another couple of vampire stories that were in there. I can't remember what they are now, to tell you the truth. It's like 3 years ago.
What was it like in, I think it was in issue three, when other people started, because I think the issue two was just kind of an anthology that had a Sancho story and then some other kind of horror stories, but issue three had other people writing and drawing Sancho.
Oh yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of seeing how other people draw my characters. I always think they do it much better than I do. So yeah, I think issue three was the one where we had Davey Francis came in. He's the he's a Belfast illustrator and cartoonist who had worked on Oink comic, which was like the children's version of Viz that came out in the 90s, and I was a huge fan of that, and so was Ian actually. So we bumped into Davey at Bristol again, and bumped into him, we were chatting away to him at the table, and then later on that night we were having dinner with a group of people, and we noticed Davey was at another table. I think he was with somebody quite famous. I can't remember who it is now. It was either Hunt Emerson or Roger, who's that guy who does the clown, Fred the Clown, Roger...
Langridge?
Langridge.
Oh,
I think it was Roger Langridge, and he was sitting with him. So I just said, shout, and stood up and went over and sat down with him, started yapping, and just said to I thought there was no chance of getting Roger Langridge to a Sancho story, so I just said to Davey, would you be interested in doing one? So... He would, and we're actually still working together now. Davey and myself have become good friends. So
that's right, on The Forefathers.
We're working on The Forefathers, which has stalled slightly because another story has taken over. It's called Thunderbags.
Okay.
And that's been released by a comic company in Belfast, are publishing that for us. So the way we're working it is, myself are scripting it. He's drawing it and I'm colouring it. Okay. And designing the covers and the insides and so on. So I think we're going to wait, or they want us to have two issues in the bag before they release the first one. So God knows when that's going to happen, because I'm working on other things as well. So,
yeah.
So it's so we've been working on that now for about 4 months.
This is Thunder Bags.
Thunder Bags, yeah. So the idea with the Forefathers was that was going to be a web comic. We have a hell of a lot of it done, but it just needs tidying up. And we're probably going to release that on when we set up a website for it by itself, and just release it, you know, a strip every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So there'd be what amounts to about half a US comic page will be coming out every two weeks, and we just do it that way. So we've got about, I think, about 15, 16 pages of that done. So it's weeks and weeks of entertainment. We did that the same kind of way as we're doing Thunderbags. We sat down and Davey came up with the initial idea, and I pitched in. So we're kind of writing the script together. He's drawing it, I'm colouring it, and then I'm sticking it up on the web.
Right.
So,
what's Thunderbags about?
Thunderbags is about a geriatric superhero team. It's Davey's idea again. It's a very, very amusing, funny idea. But they're all, you know, dragged out of retirement because their biggest foe has come back, called the Maestro. He's come back. His Maestro and his Orchestra of Infamy, I think we're going. So he's back. So all the characters have to... There's one character in particular who has to go around and get the whole gang back together. But there's loads of... It's almost... I was going to say it's almost like Watchmen. It isn't almost like Watchmen. It's a total spoof. But it's like Watchmen and a lot of other comics in that there's interpersonal relationships are explored throughout it. Probably making it sound much deeper than it is. It's basically, it's a cartoon sort of thing. Almost, you know, almost suitable for kids.
Okay.
Which is...
PG-13.
PG-13, which is something I'm quite interested in. Like, I've started doing... comic or planning comics, you know, that are aimed primarily at kids, you know, as opposed to an older audience.
Well, of course, you've done the one in Reraw.
Reraw, the Irish language comic. Yeah, that's the Irish language comic that I do a story called Na Blachtari Óga for, The Big Break Detectives. And I think they're up to issue two with that now. And yeah, I've had a ball doing that because, the stories can be... It's sort of bringing me back to my old Beano days, if you know what I mean. And I just like the drawing style, and I had a blast doing it. The only problem is I can't speak a word of Irish.
I was just going to ask, how does that work?
Well, what happens is I, Aidan Courtney, the editor, would contact me and tell me when the next issue is coming up, when the deadline is, and this kind of stuff. So I'd go, grand. I go away, write a story, write a script, and in this case, you know, I'm doing it for people to translate, so I would write up a proper script as opposed to a scrappy script for myself that I make up as I go along. But I'd write a proper script in the comic book style and give that back to Aidan, who gives it to a guy called Gabriel Rosenstock,
okay,
who I think is Mario's brother.
Oh, really?
He's a big Gael Gore, and he does the translation. So he'd do the translation on that, and then he'd come back to me with the Irish translation. And as soon as I get that, I would start drawing it, because it's very hard to plan, you know, something out when you're working on the English text, because the Irish text is always about twice as long. So it's kind of hard to plan how much you know, room to leave for balloons and stuff like that. So... Well, having said that, I'd start up sketching, so I have an idea of I've thumbnailed it all, and but when I get the Irish translation back, I pencil it and ink it and colour it and send it back. But that has actually taken off a bit for me now, because of that, the children's illustrations in that and the stuff that I've done. Have you seen the stuff I've done in the Irish Times recently?
The football
thing, yeah. Yeah. And there was another couple of illustrations as well.
There was the one that accompanied an article for Ross O'Connell
Kelly.
That's
right, yeah, yeah. Now, that wasn't... I mean, they didn't ask me for a comic style, but that's what I gave them.
Okay.
sort of my illustration stuff is mostly comic style. That's kind of what I gave them back, you know, a four-panel sort of comic. And then the other one was Edgar Pele, which appeared in the World Cup supplement.
Mm.
That was a double page spread.
That was a huge, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a big thing to do. And I actually, when they asked me to do it, they told me it was a double page spread. But I thought, oh, 2 pages of A4, grand. But it wasn't. It was 2 pages of tabloid, basically. But yeah, because of that, I was contacted by O'Brien Press. So I'm now doing a series of books with them.
Oh, brilliant.
In, you know, a comic book, books with them. You know, they want to aim graphic novels at a younger reader.
Mm.
So I've come up with a few ideas, and we're going to go with all of them. So we've got a 2-year, basically, production schedule that we're working on at the moment. And so I'm starting up on the first 3 books shortly. And they are for a September... What year are we now? 2010.
Yes. You have me doubting myself.
Yeah,
there,
yeah. So they're going to be a September 2011 release.
Okay.
So, so the deadline of them, I think, is next May.
Do you have any seeds of ideas, or do you...
It's going to be a reworking of The Big Bright Detectives that have been in Reraw. We're sort of... not aging them slightly, but I'm drawing them in a more mature style, which is more akin to the kind of Sancho stuff that I'm doing. And where I came up with a list of Big Bright Detective stories that I come up with. We've got about 12 of the bloody things. Set in the zoo, they go to the zoo. It's whatever you do in school. They're still school kids, obviously, and they're still primary school kids, but they'll be doing... we'd be bringing them abroad. We have ideas to bring them out of the school and so on. But still, you know, it's the same conceit in that they solve mysteries or crimes within a 30-minute time span, which is the same as Reraw, the Reraw style that I've been writing. They're going to be all over Dublin City. But it's going to be, you know, obviously it's not going to be set in Dublin. It's going to be set in generic Ireland. I think somewhere called Ballybreen is their suburb.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to do with that. And then I'm going to bring in a lot of designy sort of elements just to add more to the sort of comic book end of things. So I'm going to be bringing in a few little things I'm working on at the moment that I haven't formulated completely in my head. But yeah, it's very exciting. It's very nice to be asked to do this kind of stuff. So,
O'Brien seemed to be pretty receptive after. I mean, doing well. I guess they did. Or Bob Byrne did his kids' book with them. Robots Don't Cry.
Yeah,
and the 1960s.
Jerry Hunt's thing.
Yeah.
Bob actually illustrated another few books.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize. As well, there was one by Gordon Snell, who's I think it's Maeve Binchy's husband, wrote a kid's book called Supermarket Ghost, I think. I don't know, I saw it. It's true. But yeah, he illustrated that, and I think another couple. And then Jerry Hunt, of course, who actually gave me the idea of approaching O'Brien's. And it was a funny thing, O'Brien's were approaching me at the same time as I was approaching them. Mm. What happened was I got... a collected edition of Sancho stories done up. It was only like 40 pages, but I got a hardback done up by Lulu. You know that Lulu.com?
It's kind of like Blurb.com, those kind of
exactly,
sites.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And it came back, and it looked so nice when it came back, and it had a dust jacket on it and everything that I designed, and I thought, it really looks nice. So I took photos of it and sent it into O'Brien Press. And it happened, it was the same week that the World Cup was in, the World Cup strip was in the Times. So they were looking for me at the same time as I was looking for them. So it all worked out. It was kind of like fate.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's, so yeah, so we have, I have a few things on the, on the schedule now with O'Brien's.
I was going to ask you about Sancho, actually. I was going to ask if you were going to bring out a collected edition. Is that like available through, or did you just make one for yourself?
Well, I basically made it for myself with the intention of bringing it around a few publishers, and, you know, because I've been self-publishing for so long now, and I was just thinking, yeah, I'm self-employed, I'm self-publishing, I have to make some money out of this. So I did that, and it was good foot, you know, foot in the door with a few people have looked at them, were interested. But I'm going to actually make that available, you know, put it on the Lulu Marketplace site. I don't know how that actually works. I think it might get onto Amazon as well. And if it doesn't, sure, I'll put it up on the Amazon have their own creative book sort of
thing. Yes, I've seen this.
In fact, I think Bob Byrne did one recently.
Got his Dr. Moko's mnemonic learning system.
Yeah, book. I keep on meeting to order. it looks hilarious. I'll make that available that way.
I was going to ask you actually a bit, just when you were talking about the forefathers and Davy, I seen a quote from him saying that this was the kind of first time that he'd used the Marvel approach to doing comics, and I kind of want to know what the Marvel approach is.
Well, the Marvel approach, I'm not too sure whether this is the actual Marvel approach, but the Marvel approach is me and Davy do it is that we would have, we'd sit down, I say sit down, he's in Belfast and I'm in Dublin or in Wicklow, so what we do is we'd have a long chat on the phone and get an idea of what the plot would be for the whole thing, and then he would go away and do up sketches, and not just sketches, but actual panel sketches, which he'd email to me, and I would fill in the dialogue and say, and then we'd compare notes and go through it like that. Now, I think the Marvel approach is that the writer, it's somewhat similar. I think the Marvel approach is that the writer will come up with a sort of storyline and synopsis, but no dialogue. Give that to the artist, who would draw it, as in, you know, something like, you know, page 14 to 18, they fight. So you have the Hulk and Spider-Man, you know, having a good go at it. And this is all completely up to the artist as to how the fight goes out. Or happens, and then that would be presented back to the writer, who would fill in the dialogue, as in Hulk smash and a few sort of bon mots from Spider-Man, probably all puns to do with being green, but that's the way that they do it. So that's the kind of approach that we're having to writing Thunderbags, especially.
You also seem like one of the few kind of prolific Irish comic creators, which
my breakneck pace of one comic a year is making me prolific.
Which probably doesn't say a lot for the rest of the Irish comic scene. But certainly, you know, you do get kind of issues coming out and which are great, and then you're like, you wish there was more, and then there's not more for another 5 years. But I mean, how do you manage to get them out at the rate you do? But in terms of also being a graphic designer,
well. It's kind of a big, I mean, it's one of the big problems is finding the time to do it, especially when you're, now, since I've become self-employed, which I've been running my own business for the last year, I found it slightly easier, you know, to work it within my work day. But having said that, the graphic design for clients has to take precedence over it, which is why I'm still quite slow. Just on the prolific thing, I you know, the last Sancho was actually released in 2008, in December of 2008, and so that was all of last year. I did nothing. This year now, I'm working on issue 6 of Sancho, and I have a story, and it's just going to be one story the whole way through, just to kind of I don't think this is going to be the last issue of it, but just, you know, because it's issue 6, and it seemed like a good bookend to start off with a 24-page or however long it was story. 28-page story and end with a 28-page story. So I have that all written, and I have some of it kind of thumbnailed, and the idea was to get it out for, you know, the end of this year, October, say, because there's a couple of things happening in October. There's Octocon that I'm a guest at, and there's also the Birmingham Festival.
That's right.
So
And the Dublin Comic
And the Dublin Comic thing, of course, yeah, is in December.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. Yeah, exactly.
Nobody told us.
No, no. And it's in a strange place as well, isn't it? It's
not Andrew's Lane, is it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's very Lane.
We must talk to the people behind that.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds very interesting, and I'll definitely be involved in it. And, you know, I've enjoyed the last couple of festivals that John has put on, so yeah, I'll definitely be there. But yeah, the idea was to get issue 6 out for that. Now, with the O'Brien Press thing coming up now, that's going to take up a good bit of my time, so it's going to slow me down a little bit. Yeah, so I don't know, issue 6 might be out till next year at this date, if it comes out at all. And I've been working on another thing with Peter Loftus.
Okay.
Who is Super Hillbo's husband.
Yes, I knew I recognised the name, yeah.
Yeah, he's an editor at Albedo, won the science fiction review magazine. Not just reviews, they have original stuff in there as well. And he's a good guy, and he's written a really good story called Chromehead. So I am illustrating the first 8 pages of that, and I've been illustrating that for about 6 or 8 weeks. And I've come up with the character designs. I have the whole thing thumbnailed, and I've the first couple of pages penciled, but it's just finding the time now. And I'm just afraid I'm going to get, bogged under or. Not bogged under, is that a word? Is that a phrase?
Bogged down.
Bogged down. Yes. Thank you. Bogged down with.
Everybody knows you can't get bogged under. You can only bog down.
You can get under a bog if you're a plumber. So I'm working on that as well. And I really want to get that out of the way before I really get into the throes of the O'Brien schedule.
You mentioned earlier on that yourself and Ian had written a play before, done some plays. What I want to know is, will we see Sancho take to the stage?
Well, you won't see it on the stage, but there's moves to do it as part of an anthology horror film.
Okay.
Ian is planning at the moment an anthology horror film, himself and Derek and their film company, and they're looking for funding for it. So there's going to be about 4 stories in it. Not all directed by Ian, although he's a very talented director. I think he's bringing in another couple of directors on it as well, and also a couple of other writers and collaborators. But we're probably going to take one of the stories from the Vampire issue, which is issue 2. In fact, the Sancho story out of that, which is the Bram Stoker story. It's a short enough sort of thing, and turn it into a 10-12 minute film. And we've kind of been, you know, doing our little casting bits and pieces, you know, thinking, God, it'd be great to get Kieran Hines to be Sancho, which it would be great, because he has that kind of angular face. If you know him as an actor, he was Caesar in Rome, and he's an Irish actor. I think he's from Belfast, actually, but I'd say he could do it very well. But it'll probably end up being, you know, Ian's other cousin, you know, happens to have a handlebar moustache. But we'll see how that all goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're pitching around for funding at the moment, so
great.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. And I'll probably be working on the storyboards, and I'll be co-scripting with Ian the story, and you know,
that's
probably
brilliant.
Turning up on the days to see how we're gonna. We're probably. Just because of budget constraints, we're probably going to have to lose the Tom Frost character.
Okay.
Because that would either be a really crappy puppet or really expensive CGI. So we'll probably be bringing in the blind priest, who's Willie O'Malley, who could be Annie Outflow, you know.
You just call casting. Give us Annie
Outflow.
Exactly,
Outflow. Yeah. Send us David Kelly, please. And give him an eye patch. But we'll...
He'd be great, actually.
Yeah, he'd be great. Looks nothing like the cartoon, but a great, great actor. So, I mean, this is all in the future. Yeah. You know, people talk about films and they never happen, so...
Yes.
Know, take it from me, this will never happen. we're working towards it never happening, which is the main thing.
My final question, not even a comic book-related question, but through my strenuous research... I've uncovered that you performed in the premiere of Steve Martin's play.
Picasso at the La Panagile.
Yes. This fascinates me greatly because I'm a huge fan of Steve Martin, and I didn't even know this play had ever made this country.
Yeah, yeah. That was in about, I think, 2005. We did that in Andrews Lane in the studio upstairs. And we did it, I think we did a two-week run of it. Ian directed it. I was in it for me. I was playing Picasso. Oh, Jesus. Ian twisted my arm for that, I don't know. But
That's quite a nice mirror, Picasso, because you are actually an artist in real life. I quite like that.
Well, yeah, but Jesus. Some might say I place my noses in the same place Picasso put his. But it was great fun to do, and it was the same crowd basically, the same crowd of actors. We called ourselves Mangle Ferret after the band that we were in years ago. Was Mangle Ferret Productions. It was the same crowd of actors who did the Old Dark House for the years previous to that. I think we did that over 2 or 3 years. So it was great fun to do, and and we had a couple of professional actors in it as well. I mean, we're all half-arsed. Well, no, actually, some of us are quite good, but I'm definitely half-arsed. I'm only one buttock, I'm so half-arsed. But some of them were great actors and have been in things subsequently.
Okay.
So that's it.
That's a good answer. All right, well, thanks very much for talking to me. And best of luck in the future.
Well, thank you very much. It was lovely to be in out of the rain for a little while.
Yeah, I think it's still going. Actually, I can see lights kind of streaming through the window now.
I can see that, yeah. Could be a UFO coming down to abduct us, though.
With any luck.
Take me away.
And we're back.
What an amazing interview. I especially liked its length and the topics covered within.
Super.
Yeah. Do you have any news or anything like that you want to
find? Well, big news in the Irish comic scene is that Summer Edition is coming up very soon. Saturday the 24th of July in Film Base in Temple Bar in Dublin. It's going to be on from 11 in the morning till 5 in the evening. Everybody's going to be there. It's going to be actually... we weren't there last year. We heard it. We heard great things. We're going to be there this year. We're going to be recording live. But there's going to be loads of great people there. There's all sorts of like zine people, all the usual comic people. Bumped into Declan Shalvey the other day. He's going to be there. He said he's going to be doing some sketches.
Okay,
cool. So there's like a hundred reasons to go to
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely, I cannot wait. My fingers are tingling with excitement already. It's early day. Those aren't my fingers.
It's the closest thing to a comics festival in Ireland if you didn't go to 2D.
You said festival again.
No!
Excellent. Yes. Yeah, no, I can't wait. So turn up and we'll even the Comic Cast will do you a free sketch.
We'll be signing stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be signing deck sketches.
Excellent. We like play pranks and stuff. Just tell us what to do. We'll say it.
Yeah, done.
I don't really have any news.
Okay.
Oh, maybe we should do IT Crowd Comic Watch.
Regular feature.
Shoot. Episodes 2 and 3 are out. Again, Super Hilbo is visible on Roy's desk. Gazebo is visible in numerous places, mainly in people's hands. Moss's hands while he's on the Jack's.
If we're going to do comics swatch, we need to do it properly.
Yeah.
Roy is actually reading Black Shapes by Phil Barrett on the loo.
Yeah.
And he's also reading a second indiscriminate comic, which I do think that we sent, but we got so many comics, I'm not sure which one it is. So if you know which one it is, I think it actually might have come from Northern Ireland, if that helps anyone. And then later in the episode, Moss is reading Gazebo on his desk. Then in episode 3,
Jen has Gazebo, she's flaunting it, she's her favourite comic in the world.
Yeah, I like the way Moss was reading in episode 2. He enjoyed it so much, he gave it to Jen.
She just said to Jen, wait till you check out the story of John Gazebo and his crazy adventures. And Super Hilbo was also visible again. That one's getting a lot of airplay. The other one's less so, but we'll keep our eyes out. There's still 3 episodes to go. We can still make, The reason is the sales potential here is huge. If your comic is spotted just even for a second on the IT Crowd, sales will jump through the roof. That's a fact. That
absolutely. A fact. If you want to buy gazebo blackshapes.com,
yeah, exactly.
Baby needs shoes.
Yeah, excellent. That's it, I think. I don't have any other
news. No.
Oh, I do want to keep on forgetting to mention this. We have an email address, thecomiccast@gmail.com. Yes. And like, I think we should have a letter section. I think people should just write us letters.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
They don't have to be about anything. They don't even have to be about comics. They
okay.
About like troubles, relationship yes. troubles. Yes, we will help you out.
Yes.
Like, so if you've ever wanted a Comiccast advice on anything, like cooking, I don't care. Just send us an email, comiccast@gmail.com, and we'll read it out on it. And we'll make fun of your end.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so do that. All right, well, we're back in 2 weeks. We're going to review some comics, including Phil Barrett's new book and Flatmates, the comic thing.
Yeah, if they're both available at the time.
Well, I'm reviewing them anyway. Even if I don't have them, I'll review them.
You're blowing that embargo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
We go down to the indie disco every Thursday night. Dance to our favorite indie hits until the morning light. At the Indie Disco. The Indie Disco. At the Indie Disco, yeah. We've got a table in the corner that is always ours. Indie Disco.